The parents of a toddler who urgently requires a life-saving heart transplant have appealed to the Permanent Secretary at the Department of Health to overhaul the system on organ donation in Northern Ireland, as reported by the Irish News. Three-year-old Daphne McGowan from West Belfast was given just a 10% chance of survival due to a rare form of congenital heart disease. His father, Martin, is with me now. Good morning to you, Martin.
Good morning, Stephen, and thanks for having me on.
That's a pleasure. It's not a problem. So tell me what you need to happen here. Well, first of all, tell me about your son.
Well, basically, Stephen, Daddy has featured on the Nolan Show before. He was born in October 2016 with a rare form of congenital heart disease called hypoplastic left heart syndrome. And basically that means he was born with half a working heart. And round about that time, 3 years ago, the amount of times that we actually nearly lost Dahi was frightening. And, you know, we're actually getting, we're at the time of the year now where we're getting a lot of reminders, you know, through photos and stuff that we were taking, because it's this time that he was in recovery. So, you know, it's a hard time of the year for us, you know, looking back at all those photos and everything that he's gone through. But, you know, he's been coming in from school every day at the court of one with his big smile on his face, so, and showing you his painting and his new songs and stuff. So, you know, that kind of outweighs all that sadness that what we had to go through a few years ago. But Dahi has went through countless operations and open heart surgeries and procedures, and we're now at the stage where we found out about a year and a half ago that there's nothing more that they can do for Dahi, and that the gift of a new heart would be his only chance. Therefore, we started our Donate for Dahi campaign in July of 2018, and it was basically to, you know, try and raise as much awareness locally of organ donation, and it kind of took off from there. And, you know, everybody across Ireland and the UK, and, you know, even further afield, have been in touch with well wishes, and, you know, and that have heard our story. So we have made a big impact, but we're now at the stage where we're looking for more help, basically. And, you know,
what do you need?
Well, basically, we drafted a letter to Mr. Richard Pangalli, the Permanent Secretary of Health, and we also had a support letter from our party leaders to call for the introduction of a soft opt-out organ donation system. And basically what does that mean? That means, and to me it has to be very simple, and that means basically that it would be assumed consent to donate organs unless people have registered an objection through the NHS organ donation register. So that basically means that you would be presumed to have given your consent. However, with it being a soft opt-out system, it would still come down to being a gift. And basically, I've seen myself going back and forth with people on Twitter and on social media of, you know, of maybe uneducated comments such as, you know, you need to opt out because the government will own your organs and stuff like that. And, you know, that can't be further from the truth. Organ donation will always be a gift, and it's described as a soft opt-out because families can overturn that presumed consent. So
England and Scotland are due to introduce this next spring, aren't they?
Well, that's it, Stephen.
And the opt-out system, it's been operating in Wales since, it was the end of 2015, December 2015.
Yes, it has indeed. And, you know, when I look at Wales, they now have the highest rate of consent in the UK, which is almost at 80%. So it seems to be working there, and, you know, it seems to be, you know, that it's now shifting the norms in Wales, and England and Scotland will be following it in 2020. But what's happening there is that from they have announced that they will introduce this legislation, there's now a huge campaign in England and Scotland to make people aware of what a soft opt-out legislation is. So that is bringing, that is highlighting organ donation in those countries. But it's also making people aware of what soft opt-out means, and it's also giving people the knowledge that you can opt out. It's not a case of, you know, you have to, but it's the you know, it's that awareness drive as well that can only benefit, you know, that we feel it can only benefit, you know, the rates.
And yet the reality is, Martin, that the local assembly turned it down. So they rejected it. There's a statement here from the Department of Health. They say, following a detailed examination of all aspects of soft opt-out systems in 2016, the Northern Ireland Assembly decided not to proceed with the specific legislation. Therefore, any changes to the existing arrangements would need to be reconsidered by a health minister and the Northern Ireland Assembly. So this went in front of our local politicians and they said no.
Well, I think we're a few years down the lane now. We're now in a position where we have, our party leaders have all sent a letter lending their support for the introduction of soft opt-out organ donation system. Arlene Foster has also sent a letter for a call of a review of the system. In the absence of Stormont to create some noise, we have gone to the 11 councils here in the north, and five of those councils have now passed motions supporting the introduction of soft opt-out with a...
So what do you think has changed then?
I think it's just, and this is one of the, you know, this is one of the common themes that we're getting. We get a lot of people contacting us through our social media pages, and a lot of what they're saying is that it seems to be a no-brainer, really. You know, all the countries around us are changing to this system. The south of Ireland is also changing. We met with Simon Harris a few weeks ago, and he has also granted support to our campaign as well. And to be honest, I now feel that all those countries around us, basically, you know, they help our chances, and they help Daffy's chances. But, you know, we're sitting here in Belfast feeling left out. Nothing's happening. And we run the risk of being left behind and the last people to the party again, so to speak. So,
and it's not some type of abstract policy thing for you. You're looking at your little boy and you want him to live. That's the bottom line.
Stephen, and I hope this sounds the way it sounds in my head, but every day that he is with us, we fall in love with him that wee bit more. You know, obviously you love him from the day they're born, but as I said, he's coming through that door, he's showing us the pictures he's painted or the new songs he's learnt. His personality is developing so well, you know, we're now at a stage where we can't imagine life without our wee daddy. And basically, you know, we will do anything we can to increase his chances. And we do believe that with the introduction of soft opt-out, it's not the end of the conversation. It's a step in the right direction of normalising the talk around organ donation in our society, which can only increase people like Dahi's chances. And, you know,
your son, Martin, was given just a 10% chance of survival after surgery at 4 days old.
That's correct, yes. And I can remember the doctor, Dr. John Lilly in at the Avelina in London. He actually told me that with tears in his eyes. But he had also said something to give us such hope that it was me that actually pushed him on to give me the percentage chance. But he had also said to me that Daddy's individual fight. And those words have stuck to me to this day. And any statistics or anything, I just always think of Dr. John Lilly's words, that it's Daddy's individual fight. And, you know, that he's been fighting since day one, and, you know, he'll fight. He'll fade on.
What are his survival chances now? Is this a race against time?
Well, that's that. The minute that he's stable, he's doing well. But that could change at any time with a child like Dahi's condition. A normal cold or a flu that would wipe a normal child out for a few days to die in the hospital for more than a month. We see and hear people getting, children getting the flu with Dahi's condition and passing away. And I suppose if 2 months ago there were 4 children here waiting for the gift of a new heart, and tragically wee Amy passed away over a month ago, and that absolutely devastated. That was absolutely devastating for us all. But on the other side of that, and I was actually speaking with my friend Gareth this morning. His daughter got the call last week, and she is now 8 or 9 days post heart transplant. And I know they're listening this morning, so I really wanted your viewers and yourself to send them the big positivity that they need. You know, wee Evie, she's doing well post heart transplant, and but it's very early days, of course, and you know, but it's we're delighted to hear that Evie got the chance and the gift of a new heart. So that just shows, you know, those two stories in the last month shows how the beauty and the, you know, the sadness of the journey that parents like us are on.
Look, keep fighting, and you know, you don't need me to tell you that. I know you will. You and your family, and you're wanting this change in law so that other people can benefit.
Well, that's it. As I say, we want a fighting chance, and if there's any way we can increase our chances. You know, there's no denying that we started this campaign off because of our own son. But campaigns like this, campaigns like ours, where families are spreading awareness, it benefits everybody waiting on the list. You know, there's about 40 kids in the UK and Ireland list waiting on the gift of a new heart, and not everyone will make it. And we just want to increase Dahi's chances and everybody's chances, really.
Okay. Martine, thank you so much for sharing the story with us. My heart goes out to you, and I mean that, Martine. Thank you, sir.
Really appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thank you.